From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made as we move ever closer to Holy Week and Easter Sunday and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a big week coming up for sure. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased to be joined by the great winners of the Academic Decathlon from St. Ignatius School and their coach, Aaron McGraw. Aaron, good day to you.
Hello. Thank you for having us on here.
Wish it could be in person. We have a very little studio here, and it's so good to see all those kids and their smiling faces, and the IQ of the room goes up substantially when they're here.
They are a smart bunch.
Tell us how many kids do you have with you today?
I have 9 members of the team. There's 10 altogether, so we're just short one. So, but we're at least all in the room together, so that's nice.
Very good. Very good. And tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at St. Ignatius.
So my name is Aaron McGraw. I am the seventh homeroom teacher. I teach 8th grade English language arts, and then I've been coaching our academic decathlon team since 2015. Mm-hmm. And so this was, we've been involved with it for several more years. Oh, we just got our 10th person, so we've got a whole team with us.
Okay.
I just walked in. So we've been doing this for longer even than I've been around. So this was our 14th win at the diocese in a row. And then we just came in second in the country nationally. So
wow.
It's been an exciting couple of months.
don't they retire the trophy after a while?
No, they keep making new ones. So.
Oh, wow. That's mind-boggling. 14 in a row.
Yeah. It's been now it's actually older than a couple of the kids on the team.
That's great. So this year you weren't able to have all those schools come together, and usually it's just an academic decathlon in this diocese, and this time, instead of just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, I guess we can't do it at all, you decided to go national.
Yeah, no, they expanded it this year, which was actually really nice. Because everything was virtual, it was a lot easier to bring people in because this obviously negated any kind of travel cost. Mm-hmm. So they opened it up to any Catholic school in the country. So we had schools competing out of Colorado, North Carolina, Rhode Island, North Dakota, I believe. That was really nice that everybody had that opportunity to do that. That was a benefit of all of this being virtual, and there's something to be said for being in person, but silver linings.
What was different about it from how did it organizationally how did you pull it off?
So this changed how we prepared quite a bit, because obviously for quite a bit of the year we were unable to be together in person, so we had to do a lot of meetings together on Zoom. The kids, I think, were much more independent studiers than they've had to be in the past. But we kind of made that, we made it work. And the nice thing, by the time we got closer to the competition, end of February, beginning of March, we were finally at least able to be in like a large room together. So we felt like our upper science classroom is pretty big, so we were able to get everyone in there distanced and masked. And that was nice, just kind of formed that team camaraderie there. Right at the end. So, these kids are amazing because they put up with all of this craziness of this year and still managed to be so incredibly successful. I'm amazed by them every year, and I think particularly so this year, just with everything going on in the world.
Yeah, with everything going on in the world, for sure. What sort of, I don't know if handicap is the right word, but what sort of hurdles did you face that you wouldn't have faced with the in-person?
I think, you know, there's something when everyone is together and, you know, those friendships that naturally form and, you know, just from spending so many hours together preparing and studying and, you know, a lot of that was removed just because everything was over Zoom right up until the end. The kids still kind of managed to form those bonds, but I think it was definitely more difficult. So again, that kind of speaks to the strength of this team, that they were sort of able to persevere. They were able to persevere through just all of this and dealing with me on Zoom and other coaches on Zoom and, you know, any kind of tech snafus, and they just made it work.
And these are 7th and 8th graders?
6th, 7th, and 8th, yeah.
6th, 7th, and 8th, yeah. Okay. And is 10, that's a normal team size?
Yes. So we have 8 members of our team will have individual subjects, and then 2 members just focus on the other events that we have are a logic quiz where everybody works together, and it's like a combination of grids and Sudokus, Ken-Kens, alphametics, all kinds of different types of problems. And then there's a big super quiz the whole team does together, and that's 5 different subjects, kind of Jeopardy style. You can keep track of the score as you go along. So, you know, me as the coach, where I just sit there and can't do anything at that point, it's rather stressful for me, but it's very exciting. So,
what difference does it make to have the parents there and have it be live and all that?
That is one thing I think we missed this year, because, you know, you just have that energy in the room and that support and that enthusiasm, you know, and like having all the cheering that happens as they, you know, announce different places and everything. So that was unfortunate that we were unable to have that this year. The parents were able to tune in on Zoom and watch the award ceremonies, but they weren't able to watch the actual competition itself. And then, obviously, you know, there's only so much cheering that can happen over Zoom. But I think we particularly missed that this year, because, you know, these kids work so hard, and it's so nice for them to hear and feel all of that love and support behind them.
Sure.
So
it must have been exciting, though, to have compete against kids from all over the country.
Yeah, that was amazing. It went so smoothly too, which they had done like a practice run for everybody nationwide the week before, and then we went into our diocesan competitions, and then the national competition the week following, and it just worked out really nicely. It was great. We were able to actually, for our diocesan competition, we competed against other Sacramento schools, and then we were in the same hub as some schools from Los Angeles. So it was just kind of nice being able to see, like, okay, well, what did you do this year? How did you make this work? And nice way to sort of reach out to everyone.
How much of it is knowledge and how much of it is speed? Is it like Jeopardy?
They have for like the super quiz portion, they have a minute to answer. So there's a certain level of speed involved, but mostly it's that didn't affect the score as long as you were able to answer within the minute. It's just a very broad, very extensive knowledge base. These kids are like, each of them is like a little mini library. Just the sheer amount of information that they're able to absorb and parse through and everything is so impressive to me.
Yeah. So is there another competition you go on to?
No, our nationals a couple weeks back was it for the year.
That's
so
it.
We're done for the school year.
You're not going to compete against the Vatican?
That'd be a little intimidating.
I'll bet. Indeed. We're speaking with Aaron McGraw, the coach at St. Ignatius, the coach of this great academic decathlon team. I'm guessing with a name like that, there might be a little bit of Irish in your family.
Yes, extreme. My father is half Irish.
I come from an Irish Catholic family too, and I have a daughter, an Erin Colleen, and a Maeve, and a Molly, and a Mick. So we have a lot of Irish. But I've found that 1% Irish counts.
Anything at all.
Yeah.
Love Ireland, love potatoes.
That's right. Well, good. It's awfully good to have you. And you have 10 students there, and I'm sure we have time to talk to all of them. If you'd be so good as to introduce them and then come back on when I finish with one and introduce the next one, that would be wonderful. Anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to explain?
I don't think so. I think I can probably pass it on to the kids. They can speak to everything better even than I can. They were the ones to do it.
Very good. Well, thanks, Erin. Great to talk
with
you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to pass you on to one of our eighth graders, Irene Cretu, who competed. Our team, her individual event was literature. So I hand that off to her.
Great. Irene, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
And you're in eighth grade?
Yes.
And your literature is your specialty?
Yes, it was a subject that I did on my own. I took the individual test for it.
And what sorts of questions did they ask you?
This year's text, from which they pulled questions, was a book about how to write poetry.
Uh-huh.
So it was everything about that they asked me on.
And are you one of those people who just always been attracted to books and literature in general?
Yes, I suppose I am. They've just always interested me in learning things. It's always been something that I am passionate about.
Very good. So have you picked out a high school yet?
Yes. I plan on attending Christian Brothers High School in the following year.
Very good. Very good. A great school, a great student body, and I'm sure you'll do very well. Have you picked out a college?
Not yet.
So what are your favorite subjects in school?
I like math and history. They're probably my favorite subjects out of everything that we learn.
Mm-hmm. And what was the hardest part of the academic decathlon for you?
I've done academic decathlon in other years, and not being able to do it in a classroom, especially like logic and super quiz, like during practice, not doing that in a classroom this year was certainly much harder to just communicate with my other team members. It's not the same, but we made it work. We really did.
Yeah, obviously. Were there any questions that stumped you?
The questions this year for super quiz were harder, and the individuals were pretty okay, I think.
Very good. Well, Irene, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and good luck at Christian Brothers next year. And if you can hand the phone back to your coach, that would be great.
All right. Hello again.
Yes.
So I will pass you on to our next team member. I've got another eighth grader, Alishani Santiago.
What's the first name again?
Alishani.
Alishani.
And she competed, her individual subject was English, and she actually came in first in the nation in her individual subject.
Wow.
So, extremely proud of her. So, passing that on to her.
Very good. Welcome.
Hello.
First in the country?
Yeah.
Boy, that's overwhelming. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us about what challenges you faced in the competition with the subject of English.
I think for English, what's really challenging about it is how broad it is. It encompasses like grammar and writing.
Uh-huh.
So you have to know all about parts of speech and how to write clearly.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot that you have to know, and especially in the test, it's not exactly like facts that you have to answer. You have to figure out which sentences are the best sentences.
Oh, I see.
So it's mostly
yeah.
application rather than memorization.
Mm-hmm. So how could you prepare for that?
Well, I read the book, which was probably the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And I completed the study guide, did some grammar exercises. The thing I couldn't really prepare for were the sentences. But if you read the book enough, then you would know the rules.
Obviously, you read it a little better than anybody else in the whole country. That's remarkable. Do you know the difference between infer and imply?
Can you please repeat that?
Hmm. Well, that's a tough question. I know. Tell us where you plan to go to high school.
I plan to go to Mariloma High School.
Very good. The Mariloma, that's the Matadors, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great high school. Well, good luck there, and thanks for joining me, and congratulations on being number one in the country in English. That's quite an honor.
Thank you.
All
right, hello again.
Wow, number one in the, that's...
I know.
I threw a curveball asking the difference between infer and imply. I mean, that's... Nobody gets that one right.
She should have.
Oh, she will. I'm sure she would have if I'd given her time to answer. Yeah. Very good.
All right. So I'm going to pass you on next to another one of our eighth graders, Ethan Pham, who came. His subject was religion, and he came in third in the nation. So.
And what was his topic again?
Religion.
Oh, okay. So, and it's Sam?
Ethan Pham, yes.
Very good. Oh, Ethan.
All right.
Very good.
Here we go.
Hey, welcome. Are you there?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What are your favorite subjects?
So my name is Ethan Pham, and my favorite subjects in school are, I would say, science and math.
Science and math?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And have you picked a high school yet?
I'm either planning on attending Mariloma or Folsom High School.
Mariloma or Folsom?
Yes.
Great. Both great high schools. Do you live nearby one of those?
More closer to Folsom.
Okay. Very good. So what was the hardest part of the competition for you?
Probably like studying. So for religion, I had to do the Bible. And basically, most people know the basic stories of the Bible, but studying the little details that not many people know.
Yeah. There's a... Every time I read it, I learn something different. I learn something new, but I also learn something different. The same story that maybe I knew about, I find something more to it. Do you have that experience?
Yes.
Yeah. That's you have a favorite book of the Bible?
Probably the book of Genesis.
Oh, wow. There's a lot there. It's a good starting point. So, and you're interested in math and science, but you picked religion. What was the toughest question you got asked?
I'm not sure, but usually, it's one of those, little details about, when something was, made.
Mm-hmm.
Or, one of those, yeah.
Very good. Well, Ethan, thanks, and congratulations, and appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Hello. I have got another one of my eighth graders, my last eighth grader, Kate Malloy. Her focus was fine arts, and so I'm going to pass that on over to her.
Good day, Kate.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
What is fine arts? What does that mean?
Well, this year we were studying the history of color, which is mostly what materials and when they were popular. And mostly a lot of memorization of paintings. It's mostly memorization. I had to memorize a pretty big book and around 200 paintings.
Just who painted them or what their title is?
Yeah, title, medium, date, and artist.
Wow. I didn't know that color had a history.
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, really early on, a lot of colors were really popular, and Tyrian purple was one of the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
In Greece, it was really, really popular, and it influenced a lot of life. And the color back then really like influenced the culture and the life, and it was a really important part.
In terms of clothing or?
Yeah, clothing, paintings, religious icons, all of that.
And where did the colors come from? I mean, what did they, you know,
It's a pretty wide range, mostly like everyday materials, some elements, and a lot of clay, sometimes like egg and tempura. Some of them are actually kind of strange.
Wow. What was the toughest part of the competition for you?
I'm not sure. Probably the amount of studying I have to do, because I have to do around like 3 to 4 hours daily. It was kind of hard, but I mean, I got used to it, and that's probably the hardest part, the studying. But
and where do you plan to pursue this in high school and college, the fine arts?
I think it's kind of a passion of mine, but I'm not sure. I do think I'm really interested in paintings and artists, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Tell us, where do you plan to go to high school?
Rio Americano.
Oh, very good. Very good. Another great school. We have a lot of great schools here in Sacramento area.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thanks, Kate, and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to pass you on next to one of our seventh graders, Sophia Contreras. Her specialization was math this year, and she actually came in second to the diocese, which is particularly impressive because the math is kind of eighth grade, high school level.
Mm-hmm.
So always impressed when they're able to pull that off. So,
and Sophia, it's Sophia?
Sophia Contreras, yeah.
And she's seventh grade?
Seventh grade, yeah.
Okay, very good.
So I'll pass that on to her.
Very good. Hello, Sophia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're a math whiz?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm jealous. I might have actually graduated from eighth grade if I could have done math. That's impressive. So how did they run the competition in math? Was it just what's 2 plus 2, or how did they do it?
So there were 50 questions and tiebreaker questions, and they would technically ask you pretty much anything with math, and yeah, mainly eighth grade.
So, wow. So, is that also your favorite subject in school?
Yeah, that and science.
What sort of science?
I like learning about the ecosystems, and that always fascinated me.
Mm-hmm. Do you hope to have a career in math or science?
Yeah.
What do you see yourself doing?
I was like ecosystems and animals, so uh-huh. Maybe something with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. And have you picked out a high school?
I'm thinking St. Francis.
Oh, another great high school. Yeah, that's a legendary high school here in Sacramento. That's a great choice. Well, Sophia, thanks so much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Aaron, these are awfully incredible people. My goodness.
I know. it's one more impressive than the next. I'm going to pass you on to another one of our seventh graders, Matthew Gillis. And his specialization was science. So
okay.
Let you talk to him.
Very good. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
You're seventh grade?
Yep.
And science is your deal, huh?
Yeah, I did science this year and last year as well.
When you say you like science, what does that mean? Science is such a broad topic.
I like learning about new inventions and things mm-hmm. I never learned about and just never really thought about how they worked.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a robotics club, or are you maybe going to attend a high school that has a robotics club?
Probably. I did some of that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. So what was most challenging about the decathlon?
I think with science, it's such a broad subject, and there's so much to it, so many little details.
Yeah.
That it's really hard to cover it all.
So So you all talk about studying. Did they give you like guidebooks that the questions are going to come out of this these books?
Yeah, there's a book, and they give you like a very basic study guide.
Uh-huh. How thrilling was it to win for the 14th straight time?
I'm pretty excited.
It's a lot of pressure on you guys to uphold the banner for St. Ignatius there. I mean, they started winning before some of you were probably before some of you were born, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Have you picked out a high school yet?
Yeah, I'm planning to go to Jesuit.
Very good. Wow. Just another great school here in Sacramento, in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, thanks so much, and congratulations.
Thank you. All right,
so I will pass you on to another one of my seventh graders, Anthony Stouter. His specialization was current events, and he came in first in the nation. So
first in the nation. It's Anthony, is that correct?
Anthony Stouter, yes.
Very good. Thanks so much.
All right, here you go.
Anthony, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. First in the nation?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
How did your family react?
They were very happy about it.
I'll bet they were. Were they able to watch it somehow?
Yeah, over Zoom they could watch the mm-hmm.
award Mhm. Could you hear them cheering?
No, they couldn't unmute. Yeah, yeah.
That's great. So current affairs, current events, is that what it was?
Current events, yeah.
Current events, yeah. So what makes something a current event?
So I got like a set of articles, mm-hmm. and they just had a pretty random variety of facts, mm-hmm. and it was a lot of just memorization.
Yeah. So what sort of questions did you get asked?
There was a lot of, like, space, stuff like that, and there were some on the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Like how many vaccines are there and things like that?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And were you able to answer them all?
I think I got most of them correct.
So were there, like, 5 questions or 50 questions or
yeah,
how many?
50 questions. On
50 questions.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And you came in first in the country.
Yes.
Did you know how you were doing as you went along? Did you know if you were ahead or behind or in the middle, or could you tell?
No, we don't know that, but I thought that I was doing pretty well.
And what other subjects interest you in school?
I really like grammar and social studies.
Uh-huh. What are you going to major in, political science or something in college?
Yeah, I want to be a lawyer when I grow up.
You want to be a lawyer. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, and have you picked out a high school?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Jesuit High School.
Very good. It's 2 for Jesuit.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Anthony, congratulations. That's a great honor. That's
thank you again.
Great work. Thank you.
All right. Hello again.
Yes.
I am going to pass you on to another one of our seventh graders, Cooper Zaro, and his specialization was social studies, and he was also first in the nation. So.
And first name's Cooper?
Cooper Zaro, yes.
Wow.
All right, pass it on to him.
Cooper, hello.
Hello.
First in the country.
Yes.
Do you get a medal or something to wear around your neck or just pats on the back?
We got a medal, yes.
Oh, very, very nice. So same thing, social cities, was it like current events or tell me how it's different?
So current events encompasses a lot of articles. They'll take a selection of articles from, I believe, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And social studies is one book cover to cover about the history of economics.
The history of economics. Wow. All the way back to the Bible?
Pretty much, yes.
Wow. So what were the hardest questions?
I think the hardest questions were the ones that were worded a little bit. They were worded a bit strange.
Uh-huh.
Like, I knew what the objective facts were, but then they would ask you to, like, apply it. And some of the questions just had a little funky wording.
Were they trying to trip you up?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what other subjects do you like?
I like history and science. Oh, those are my two subjects in school that I
very
really
good.
Enjoy.
And have you picked out a high school?
I would want to go to Jesuit, but there's still room to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You're in seventh grade, so you get a whole nother year.
Right.
Very good. Hey, thanks, Cooper. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
Hello again. So I've got one more seventh grader for you, Audrey Preston, and she's one of what we call our 9-10s. So they don't have an individual subject. They focus just particularly on logic and super quiz.
Mm-hmm.
They just really buckle down with that, and they kind of hold down our team. So,
very good.
All right, pass it on to her.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Logic and a super. What's a super quiz?
Super quiz is where they take like 5 different books and then they make 10 questions out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 questions in total.
Wow. And like, can you give me a sample question?
Well, for example, one of the books we did was about Pope John Paul's life. Well, Pope John Paul II, sorry.
Uh-huh.
And like, they would be like, it's a complete the quote, like, whatever, whatever. And then we put the emperor's family. I think we got that right, though.
Uh-huh. And what about logic?
Logic, that would be like an assortment of puzzles. Like, they do like some Sudokus, they do some Sudokus, they do some grids, they do some probabilities. It's a great mix mash.
Was that more fun than the super quiz?
Personally, I find super quiz more thrilling,
mm-hmm.
but logic is cool too.
And what about your schoolwork? What subjects are you interested in?
I really like science and math because they challenge me to do my best.
Very good. And have you picked out a high school?
I'll probably be going to St. Francis.
Very good. So we got 2 for St. Francis, 2 for Jesuit, 1 for Christian Brothers, a couple for Mira Loma. That's awesome. Thanks so much and congratulations.
Thanks.
Hello, I've got one more team member for you. So this is my 6th grader on the team, Owen Hartano, and he was also one of our 9-10s, also kind of holding the team down here.
Very good.
All right, here we go.
Hello.
Hi.
You're the only 6th grader on the team?
Can you repeat that?
Or are you the only 6th grader on the team?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And... but 6th graders are eligible, but it's just probably hard to make the team.
Yeah.
Wow. So talk about the academic decathlon. What were the challenges? Were the easy parts?
So I personally found Super Quiz a lot more challenging because we studied a lot about something that wasn't asked that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm personally not as good as with Super Quiz than with logic. So, yeah.
And in terms of school, what are your favorite subjects?
Oh, my favorite subjects are math and art.
Math and art. There you go. Wow. But there's a lot of math in art, isn't there, sometimes?
Yeah.
Or there can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where do you... You're got a lot of time to decide, but are you leaning towards a high school?
Mm-hmm. But I'm leaning towards Jesuit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they'll lean back. So congratulations for doing so well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron, I'm hearing a lot of math and science.
I know. Yeah, there's strong STEM subjects here.
That's just amazing. And they're all picking out great high schools already, and I'm sure, I know with my own kids, who are now just about college age, you know, they've been dreaming of certain colleges since they're in the 3rd or 4th grade, I think.
I know. No, it's the same thing with these kids. I think that really early on, like, this is where I'm going to go, this is what
yep.
I'm going to do,
yep.
They set these incredible goals for themselves, and, you know, just I watch time and time again, watch them achieve them or even surpass them. So I,
you know, I can't wait to see what these kids do as they get older, because it's only going to get better and better.
Yeah, yeah. I remember my son and our youngest in fourth grade, he wanted to go to Oregon State because they had the best hot dogs at the stadium.
Okay, well, you know.
That's a good reason.
I understand that. Food is an important motivator.
Indeed, indeed. It is. We do, you know, and I'm sure you do, and a lot of families do. When we happen to be anywhere near a college town, we do our best to get off the road and park and walk around the campus, even if we're on, you know, headed someplace else, you know, just to give the kids a sense of that sort of thing, you know.
I think that's me, because it's like every school's just got its kind of particular vibe, and
you know,
that's a neat thing to be able to.
Yeah. Well, so you'll get some of these kids back next year.
Yes. Four of them are graduating, but hopefully my other six are on my team next year.
And probably
going and try for number 15.
Yeah, 15. Probably some of those that were on that first team of the 14 in a row, they're probably ready to run for governor or something, right?
I know. Oh, yeah, they've got to be getting pretty close. I mean, they'd be, the late 20s now.
Yeah, if they were eighth grader, they'd be about 13. Yeah, 14.
Yeah,
yeah, they're late 20s. Wow. You probably got
to. I don't want to think about the passenger
car. Oh, I know. They probably got a PhD after their name, or an MD, or something like that. That's amazing. It's. Well, St. Ignatius' reputation goes before you, that's for sure. Great school,
yeah.
And great faculty, and it's just...
I feel very blessed to work here and especially work with these kids. So.
Yeah. So, well, we greatly appreciate you bringing all of them on. I don't know if they would fit in our room. That would have been a tight squeeze, but it would have been a lot of fun.
Hopefully, sooner rather than later, we'll be together and...
Well, it'll be great to get them all in here. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I know that's a lot of hard work, but a lot of joy and a lot of fun, and probably a few prayers said along the way.
And, many.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks and congratulations. And I hope all of our paths cross again soon.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, thanks so much. God bless.
God bless you too.
That's Aaron McGraw, who is the coach of the academic decathlon team at St. Ignatius, which won for the 14th straight year and placed second in the nation. It's the first time he did the national, and they were able to do it because of COVID. They decided to go national, and rather than just throw their hands up in the air and say, well, no, this isn't going to work this year, they made it happen. A lot of people here, great people here at the Catholic Schools Department made that go as well. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sheriff, and I appreciate all you've done in our area over so many years. Has not gone unnoticed. Well, the Diocese of Sacramento is building intercultural competence for ministers. Six sessions from April to May. Today's business-as-usual attitude can no longer be the case. Some local churches already engaged in renewal reconfirm the fact that now is the time for the church to call upon every Christian community to evaluate their pastoral practice on the basis of the missionary character of their program and activities. Contact Teresa Donan. Teresa is at tdonan@scd.org or 916-733-0132. Well, we are just pleased and honored to be joined by Father Guillermo Hernandez, but everybody calls him Father Memo, the Director of Vocations. Father, one of these days we're going to interview you in person.
Please, let's do it. I got my second vaccination, so there is nothing new to be afraid of. Just kidding.
Did you get both of them already?
Yes, thanks be to God. I'm very fortunate, very grateful that our chancellor was able to convince the county that priests are essential workers, because we were in touch with children in our Catholic schools, and also we are in touch with sick people as we visit them.
You don't get to say no to anybody who needs you, and you are truly on the front lines. There's no question about it. So did the second dose knock you out?
Kind of, a little bit. I had some symptoms like kind of fever, headache, body ache, but it lasted only for a day. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I was perfectly, and I have been feeling very well. But I know some people feel something stronger. They have more powerful effects, but some others, they feel nothing, nothing.
Yeah, I hear different stories from different people. One of my sisters got it, and she said first dose was fine. She said the second dose just knocked me out. I couldn't get out of bed, but just for about a day. So
exactly.
It's certainly, of course, our bishops and everyone are encouraging us to get vaccinated. And, it is voluntary. There's not an obligation to do so. But they indicate that, we owe it to the rest of society to keep ourselves healthy so that everybody else can be healthy. So they're strongly urging people to get vaccinated.
Exactly, and we know this is a virus that is very new in the world. We don't know how this virus behaves. We don't know the mutations of this virus. So for now, human science has come with this, and that's why it's good to be responsible and to make use of the resources that we have today. Maybe in one more year we'll have more resources, so then let us use them. But for now, the resources of the vaccinations are good, we believe, for the common good. And that's why we are encouraged to take them, not only for ourselves, for the sake of our health, but also thinking on the common good, thinking on the rest of the population. So that's why we take them, mostly.
Yeah, and we hear that throughout Catholic teaching, that one of the things we should have foremost in our mind, obviously serving the will of God, but worshiping God, but also the common good. What are my actions? How are my actions going to affect the common good? And that's, as you say, is why the bishops are so much encouraging us to get the vaccination, obviously for our own health, but it actually advances the common good as well.
Exactly. Everything that is created, including human beings, we are placed here in this world in order to take care of the resources and to take care of everything that is created. That's the sense of the common good. And we see that in the book of Genesis. But as well as the book of Genesis shows, when human beings wanted to take advantage of creation and the resources that the Lord has given us is when we got in trouble. So yeah. That's why always we have new chances to take care of ourselves, to be responsible of our health, like this, like being vaccinated, but it's still okay. Some people don't, they have their hesitations. It's okay not to be vaccinated, but still everybody, whether vaccinated or not, we are called to be careful, you know, to continue practicing the social distance, to continue wearing the face masks, to continue being responsible, because we don't know how the virus behaves. That's the thing.
Exactly.
It's a virus that is very new, and we don't know how the virus will behave or how our bodies will behave before the presence of these kind of viruses.
Yeah, it is. We're going to look back, hopefully look back when it's over. We hope that it's over and realize that we learned a lot, realize that we probably made a lot of mistakes along the way, and hopefully have learned things that will, you know, prevent this sort of thing from happening in the future. But as you point out, we still don't know where we are with this. We still don't know where it's going, and we don't know the effect of all these variants that pop up. And I guess they pop up naturally, and they're not unexpected, but they can be troublemakers. But it's encouraging to me that the numbers have gone down dramatically since we have started vaccinating. And that seems to be one of the reasons. We're nowhere near even half of the population being vaccinated yet, but the numbers are getting to be pretty impressive. And every time somebody gets vaccinated, it's benefiting everybody. It's one fewer person very unlikely to pass it on to somebody else.
Exactly. So there are some new concerns. You know, there is a new wave coming up of infections
right.
in Europe and such. So, but it's also expected because the regulations were loosened a little bit because we were getting better, and that makes more possible the transmission of the virus once again. So we will have to deal with this for a while. But the important is not exactly this, but what we, as you mentioned, as you were talking, the learning experience, I think that's the point. Human beings, we are beings that learn from experiences. And that has been our survival mode always since creation. You think of it when we were nomads. So we learned to survive, not by living in caves, but at first we live in caves, but later on we have to go out and to face the reality and to create ways to be in contact with the world that surrounded us. So we learn. So now this is a new reality that we are facing as humanity. And who knows, maybe it's going to be there for longer than we imagine. So, but we need to learn. We need to learn new ways of communicating with each other, new ways to share our love, our concern, new ways to help each other. And it's happening. You see, moments like this makes people be creative. Just think of the wars in the past. The First World War or the Second, or even before that, people had to learn to be creative. Actually, if you think of the food, it's beautiful to study. I mean, I had never studied the history of the food, but when I food is something that I enjoy very much, and the Lord has given me the opportunity to travel to different places in the world, and out of ministry, not for vacation so much, but rather for ministry. And by knowing the food of every towns of every people, of every generation, every people in terms of country, I also learned the culture. And the food expresses the tradition.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
So the way we cook today has to do with how we have suffered in the past, how we have survived in the past, and that shapes the food. Just to give an example, you know, how human beings are called to learn from any experience, any reality that appears to us to be traumatic and harmful, it's always an opportunity for us to grow. And that's going to be the key point. Because we also experience a lot, you know, you also have seen the numbers of depression and anxiety growing in the population, which is very sad. but if once again is not to be focused on the problem, but rather to embrace the problem and to see what we can do. As you are doing it right now, using the radio, for instance, the means of communications have been even growing dramatically. Why? Because since we cannot be in touch with each other physically in a proximity, in a physical proximity, we can be, however, we can be close to each other through this, through the radio, through the TV, through the social means of communication, which is very good, I guess.
Yeah, indeed. You know, and it's funny you mentioned food. Anytime I'm in a place that's foreign to me, even if it's in the United States, I make sure I don't not with any regret for McDonald's or anything, but I make sure I don't go to McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or just go into some kind of a restaurant, order a hamburger or a hot dog. I can get those at home. I want to eat what the people who live here eat. And because you're right, it's an expression of the culture.
Exactly. It's an expression of the philosophy, the local philosophy, and expression of their tradition and their survival, the way how they survived and how they found joy in the food as they survived, as they grew up as people.
I do draw the line at alligator, though.
What do you mean by that?
I won't eat alligator.
Oh, why not?
But it's eat or be eaten, I think, with an alligator. Yeah.
There are recipes that are made of alligators and iguanas.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And frogs and serpents, yeah.
So what of all the places you've been, what's the best food you ever had? I mean, the most memorable, where you say, boy, I wish we had that at home.
Well, I miss very much the Filipino food. Mm. But the Filipino food from the Philippines.
From the Philippines, yeah.
It's like Mexican food that you eat here. It's like, you know, okay, like, it's good, but it's never like...
It's not like in Mexico.
Exactly.
Right, right.
The same with Filipino food. I enjoy it when I eat here, but it's never the same. So I miss the Filipino food from the Philippines. I had the opportunity to live in Italy. Of course, I love Italian food. And I'm not talking about pasta, because when we think of Italian food, the first thing that comes to our mind is pizza and pasta. And that's not all. There are many more ways to express the love for food in Italy. Of course, pasta is always important, always. But there are other things, other recipes that also I enjoyed very much being there. I would say, but anyway, on top of everything, Filipino food.
Yeah, well, and you have the opportunity to go to the Philippines. We have a number of priests in the Diocese of Sacramento from the Philippines.
Yeah, we are very glad and very fortunate to have them here serving our communities.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And I don't think you could play the priest seminary and basketball game without the contribution from our Filipino priests.
My theory is this. When at least living in the Philippines, I could see how babies, once they learn the first steps, they learn how to shoot the ball into the basket. You see babies playing, toddlers playing basketball since they are toddlers. So they are ready for that. So, yes, and taking advantage of this opportunity that you are giving me to be in the radio, I invite also the Filipino community of the diocese to encourage your children to be priests. You know, even though we have many Asian people that belong to the Catholic Church in El Valle Sacramento, however, we have only one representative of them in the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Only one man, his name is Eric Pereira, who is there, you know, representing the Asian community of the diocese. And while I know that Asian families, they are people of faith, people of values, people of honesty, and that's why I would like to invite those who are listening to us to encourage your children to think about priesthood and serving humanity in this way.
Very good. And Father, you have an event coming up, Deus Vocat.
Exactly. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about that. This Deus Vocat, which means God is calling or God calls, is for girls. It's for young ladies who want to discern their vocation, whatever it is, whether married life, religious life, holy single life, And this retreat is going to happen on Saturday, May 1st. We will have two sessions, one in English, one in Spanish. And but anyway, for more information, please, you can call Maricela to the number 916-733-0258, or just go and register yourself into the link that exists in our website. You can visit the diocese website and find for the link of Deus Vocat, because I can say it to the radio right now, but I don't know if people can understand me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's www.scd.org, Deus Vocat. That's
very good. Very good. And it's always a wonderful, wonderful event, and gives people just an idea, a good idea about vocations.
Exactly. We will invite married women, single women that are consecrated, and we will invite also religious sisters who all of them will speak about their vocation, about the beauty of their vocation. So it's going to be a very interesting retreat for young ladies.
Very good. Father, always a joy to talk with you. We'll have to get together and share our food recipes.
Hopefully, yes. I'm not good at cook as a cook, but I'm good at eating.
I think we're in the same boat there.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you, Father. God bless you and your work.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. That's a Father Memo, who is the director of vocations here at the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of America, Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the world.